The following sermon was preached on Sunday, April 5th, 2015, The Resurrection of Our Lord Jesus Christ, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our lips, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
He is risen. He is risen indeed. Generally, when we get together on Easter or the vigil, we hear of something nuanced about the resurrection. But tonight I want to go about the one who was resurrected, the one who overcame death, the one who lives with us. That is God Almighty himself in the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the words of that psalm, it was being sung right before the gospel, Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. That speaks of our Lord Jesus Christ, speaks volumes about him. Those three things, us giving thanks for the fact that he is good because his mercy endures forever. So we have what we should do, why we should do it, and how we should do it, along with why. Give thanks to the Lord. This whole psalm is a martial psalm, as many of the Old Testament writings are, have very military connotations about the whole thing. It was written by a king after a battle, after his victory in battle. Okay, here's an Old Testament lesson on Israeli kings who fought, and okay, that's good history and nice Bible stuff, but what about me? It's not about kings who fought a battle long ago, although that's the foundation. It is about someone who was steadfast with those kings in battle. That's why those kings wrote such things, is because they wanted to give glory to the God who stood by them. When they were under great strain, and when they had no one in this world, not their own armies, no one else, but only had recourse to God Almighty himself. That's this whole, every time you read in the Old Testament, if you hear a story, and it talks about battle and things like, you can get lost. Because, I'm not in the army. I don't get into history. Each and every one of us, no show of hands, fill in your blanks of the struggles that we have every single day, always. Whether they be emotional issues with others in our families, other friends, if it is a physical issue, illness, sickness, if it's a recent loss, if it's a relational issue, whatever. Again, you fill in the blanks. Throughout life, to a lesser or greater extent, all the time, there is something. And as you get older, those somethings increase. Those are the battles. Those are the struggles. And you don't have to be in the military to have that going for, okay? What it's about is, where should our focus be when that's going on? And again, everybody sitting in here, I don't go to church except when I'm invited. I don't do this. It doesn't make any difference. It's a reality. You know, in everybody's life, there is something. For many of you, there are several somethings going on at any given time. When they're going on, greater or lesser, the one upon you whom you have to focus is Almighty God. Because trust in God should never falter. Because he never falters. So that's why we should do what we do. We should give thanks. Not a lot of people go here, but if you really think, you are where you are, things are going on in your life because our Lord wants to stretch you. And we don't get stretched unless, and it's true that he knows our frame, when things are going good, you take them for granted. You can't help it. That's the way we're wired. When things are going bad, that's when we pray a lot. And we might pray before our meals, or we might pray before this, or if someone's really sick. When something really bad happens, you're praying a whole lot more. People who never pray, when bad things happen, guess what? I always wondered why, why do people who say they're atheists when something happens go, oh my God? You're saying, oh my tooth fairy, Why? Because there's that innate part of our soul that knows we need him, whether we admit it or not. So we should look to him as our unfaltering salvation, our unfaltering foundation when bad things are going on. Why? Because Because he is good. He is good. The act of contrition, like the older one. Why, after our act of contrition, we're sorry, and we ask, why are we contrite? Why are we sorry for what we did? Because it says, because we sin against the one who art all good and worthy of all my loves. Who art all good. All good. He is all good. We are not. That is just our nature, a fallen human nature. So when we say he is good, you get, well, I saw this and I saw that, so God couldn't be good because he wouldn't have ever. God is all good. We are the ones that have problems with discerning what is good, what is bad, what is right, what is wrong, what is, I always love this one, fair. That's not fair, says who? Says who? You? Who made you the arbiter of what's fair? What's fair in your own world, your own little myopic world? God is all good. That's what this whole book's filled with it. Him being good. Even if the human situation is bad, he is still good. And it's interesting, let's move this into the New Testament, into our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ, for those of you who take notes on things like that, Luke chapter 18, verses 18 and 19 particularly, a young ruler comes to our Lord and says, good teacher, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus Christ looks at him and says, why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. Now, a lot of people look at that and say, look, he's denying to be God because he says, why do you call me good? He's not saying that he's not. He's presenting a question. Why are you calling me good? Why are you calling me good? Because there is only one who is good, and that is God alone. Jesus can't lie. He can't stretch the truth. He can't tell a fib. And he goes on to say, I am, using the divine title. I am the, he doesn't say, I am the shepherd. He says, I am the good shepherd. God the Father has presented and given our Lord Jesus Christ the title of the good shepherd. Why? Because he is God. He is all good. So that drives us home of why we're here tonight. Because in his goodness, he clothed himself with flesh and came down here and lived the perfect life that we could not live, so that we could have the opportunity to go to heaven, because we can't earn it ourselves, because it is about grace. It is about his grace. Okay? And as a result of that grace, we are called to do the good works that we have been set to walk in by him. We must appeal to our Lord Jesus Christ in these times of trouble, of which I spoke before. Okay? Why? Because he is the same God who was, for instance, in the garden when Adam and Eve had fallen and he went and sought them out. If God had been like one of us and thrown a temper tantrum when they did the one thing he told them not to do, he should just turn the place to glass and start it over again, right? That's what we would do. I told somebody to do something, heck, they're done. I'll just make a couple more and start over. Okay? He could have done that, but he didn't. He sought them out in his grace. Adam, where are you? And he made Adam fess up. But he sought him out. Jesus Christ is the same God by whom Moses parted the Red Sea. He is the same God who provided the children of Israel manna when they were starving to death and complaining again in the desert. We liked it better when we were slaves. They complained when they were slaves. They complained after God freed. He continued to provide for them. And he shows his ultimate goodness in coming down from heaven, clothing himself with flesh, and dwelling among us. That's his goodness. It didn't stop just there. He says after his resurrection to his disciples, I am with you always. I am with you always. That shows his goodness. Well, I've never seen him. Well, if you've ever been to Mass before, you have, because that is the holy sacrifice. The Holy Spirit coming down and having bread and wine yield to the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. After the words, no more bread and wine, it's glorious, but it's sad when there are no masses said on the face of the planet, when Jesus isn't there, when the sanctuary lamp is extinguished and hanging down here, when you don't genuflect when you come in here because Jesus Christ isn't here, objectively and truly. But during the Mass today, after the last words of consecration, there'll be a hesitation, and the sanctuary light will be lit again and raised up. That's one of those nifty little things that happens liturgically. He is with us and will never leave us nor forsake us in the Mass. He is with us in the presence of His body. All of you here are His body. Different parts, eyes, ears, nose, hands, feet, hearts, all different parts of His body. But His church, of which He is the head, is objectively the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. Kind of a heavy responsibility for you all when you leave here is to doing the mission of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is your head, because you are His body here. He is with us in His priesthood, Latin term, in persona Christi. Catholic priests, they do not speak of their own accord when they're at the altar. That is Jesus Christ speaking. This is my body. I don't say this was His body, which was given up for, which will be given up for you. Priests don't speak for themselves. In the confessional, the priest doesn't say, Jesus Christ absolves you from all your sin, because the priesthood is so associated with Jesus Christ that he can look at you and say, I absolve you from all of your sins. There will be a baptism this evening, and I will not say, God baptized you. I will say, I baptize you in the name that I, that's not me. It is the Holy Spirit working through the baptismal font. He is with us. He is with us first and foremost in the Holy Spirit that indwells each and every one of those who are baptized into His church. The last line of that psalm is, Thou art my God, and I will give thanks to Thee. I will extol Thee. Why? For He is good, and His mercy endureth forever. You are my God. There's two things. I will give thanks, and I will extol. Extol enthusiastically. Praise. One synonym for it that I read, enraptured. And when? Guess what? Thou art my God, I will give thee thanks, I will extol thee, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. If his mercy endures forever, then he in turn expects you to reciprocate by extolling him forever. Not just on Easter and Christmas, not just on Sundays, or when you want to come here, or when someone's being confirmed, or something like that. I know there's nothing like that going on in here. All right? Not just then. Always. Because His mercy endureth forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.